Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing tonight? We have a great show tonight lined up with some great people. How's everybody feeling? Tonight, my guests are Paul Lamar Hunter. He's an author. He's a 19th child of 21 children. Oh, my God. We also have Jalia Rain. She's a poet. And Virgo, she's a singer, songwriter, and an actress. So we have a really great show lined up for you guys tonight. We're just going to play this one song. We're going to come right back with my first guest, Miss Jalia Rain. See what she has in store, all her projects, along with singer-songwriter Virgo and Paul Lamar Hunter. So hang with me, we'll be right back.
I called you chicken head and shouted or hate at victims. I've been disrespecting you with the same old lame excuse that I've been talking this way for so long, girl. But that don't make it right to call you down, peace, my jump off. The B word, the H word, or anything else I wanna. And the sad reality is you don't hear this just from me. It's everywhere you go all day long, girl. And that's just wrong, girl. So from now on, I'll only call you a princess, a goddess, in flesh of my flesh. You're majestic, precious, the best of the best. The Lord created you, 'cause he looked at men and knew that we could never make it on our own, girl. And I thank God each day for making you so soft, so sweet, like a fresh strawberry. I wanna bite you, squeeze you. Your love is necessary for me to be great as I am. I need you in my corner, and I'm gonna make sure you know that you're my treasure, and I'm so much better. So from now on, I'll only call you
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. And what's beautiful is all the talent we have lined up tonight. Oh, my goodness. So I want to start off. We have Miss July Rain. She's a poet, and she's in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I want to talk to her, see what projects she has going on, and maybe we can get some poetry, some spoken word out of her. Miss Jalia, are you there?
Hi, Racine.
Hello.
This is Jalia.
Jalia, and I always mess it up. I'm sorry, Jalia. I always do that. How you doing?
I'm great this evening.
That's great. So you were on my Don't Be Salty show the last time I talked to you, but I know since then you have some projects that you're working on, and I want you to tell us a little bit about what you have going on. You're a spoken word artist, you're a poet, so tell us, what do you have for us tonight?
Yes, I have a series of books. My project, the Gemini Project, is my project. I have the Queen Throne is one of my books, and I also have the Rose Colored Glasses is another book from my series. These are a series.
I'm
of
sorry,
books
it's called the Rose Colored what?
Rose Colored Glasses.
Oh, Rose Colored Glasses.
Love.
Okay.
Yeah, speaks on love, looking through love and life through rose colored glasses.
That sounds good. That sounds great. Okay. So, Jalia, when did you get started doing spoken word? How long have you been doing, your poetry?
I started doing poetry about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
2 years ago I started poetry.
What was it that sparked the poetry bug for you? Because I know everybody has, like, a different way that they got started.
It's always been in me, Racine. It's always been in me. But what really put it out was just a way to release. Going through life, and just poetry helped me to really release a lot of things and being able to put it down in words. And when I started putting down in words and really started speaking it, it really started motivating and inspiring other people. And it was like, you got something there. You really got something there. And it started touching other people. I was like, hey, I got something. And then I started working with music. I started putting it to my own music. I started creating my own beats and putting it to my own music. And yeah, I got something.
Wow, that sounds great. Yeah, because I know when you said that it was like a release, I know for myself when I started writing my book, it was like therapy or something. I'm like, okay, this is like the cheapest therapy you will ever have or ever get, you know?
Exactly.
So what was there something that was going on in your life at the time, or was it just like everyday, you know, stress, that, you know, everyday living that you just kind of wrote about or that inspired you?
Changing my relationship with my marriage, with my children growing up, and just me getting older and learning, really looking at life and maturing, you know, just consciously looking at life and really looking and seeing the growth in myself. That's what changed.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that will affect your whole thinking. Trust me, I know that will affect your thinking. And it will get those creative juices going, because, like, I don't know what it is. It's just like you'll start thinking and then you start writing and then it just seems like more just starts coming out, you know? Just like you said, like a release. It's some of the best therapy you could have. So did you find that helped you?
Definitely helped. It helped a lot. It really did help. It helped me explore a lot more of myself. Helped me grow. It helped me grow spiritually.
Right.
It really did help me grow spiritually. It helped me tap more into who I am as a woman and where I am and my purpose in life.
That's wonderful. Now, are those some of the topics that you wrote about, Jalia, or was that just something that that it helped you to, you know, find yourself in? Did you actually write about these things, or was it just, you know?
Everything in my book I wrote about as I went through life, the people that I encountered, the things that I went through, everything is a subject. Everything, everybody is in my book.
Wow. Right, that's good. Yeah. That's a good thing. So, and I could sit here and talk to you all day about spoken word because I'm a spoken word artist myself, but I'm going to see if you would like to bless us with a piece.
Yes, I really would.
Okay.
I would like to,
all right, great.
I would like to give you this piece called What is the Key?
What is the key?
What is the key? What is the key? Okay, here we go. What is the key? The experience is real. I can't conceal how I feel. And why should I? Time reveals all things. What is the key? Every morning is a gift. And when I look in the mirror, the vision of the key becomes clearer. What is the key? Knowledge of self. Love for the unique and one-of-a-kind spirit that I am. What is the key? The key is I hold the power of transformation. I choose my path with the knowledge of wisdom and time, all eyes open as evidence of truth. I am the key. That's it.
Wow, that sounds great. I like that. Okay, you serious?
Yeah.
And so how long ago did you write that piece?
Well, that was one of my first pieces. That was one of my firsts, and I go political on that thing too. You know, I go political. Like, you know, you heard one of mine that's called I Am, and I put that one to music. You know.
Okay.
I put that one to music. I am victorious. I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am human.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Do you do your own music?
Oh, yeah. I do my own music.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Can I give you a little sample of it?
Sure. Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you want to do one more piece before we go to my next guest?
Yeah. Okay. Here
okay, sure. We love that.
Okay. I am victorious. I am intelligent. I am beautiful. I am human. I am victorious. I am intelligent. I am beautiful. I am human. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. I am victorious. I am intelligent. I am beautiful. I am human. Thank you.
Wow, Victoria. Okay. Thank you so much for being my spoken word guest tonight. Now, tell us how we can get in touch with you and how someone can purchase your products, your books, and your CD.
Everything will be coming out in 2017. You can mm-hmm. hear me on Jahlia Rain on SoundCloud. You can
okay.
See me out on Jahlia Rain on Facebook. I am on Twitter, Jahlia Rain.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact me also on Jahlia Rain, Facebook, Twitter.
Okay.
So just hit me up.
So Jahlia Rain. Okay, and spell that for us so that they can make sure that they can get in touch with you.
Jahlia, J-E-L-I-Y-A, Rain, R-E-I-G-N, Queens Rain.
That's right.
That's me.
Thank you so much, Jahlia. And we hope to have
you
again as a guest next time. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Lacey.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
You guys hang in there with me. I have another guest coming up, and we're going to talk to Virgo in just a second. So hang in there with me, Racine Ties Live.
They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby. The way I'm time sweating your loving. Ooh. They all sit and wonder why this feeling I cannot hide. It ain't a question of pride.
My next guest is a singer, songwriter, and an actress, and her name is Virgo. Virgo, are you here? Are you on the line? Hey, Virgo, how you doing? And I want to make sure she can hear me. Virgo, are you there? Let me just see what we can do if we can catch Virgo, because I want her to tell us what she has going on. Let's see. Let me see if I can catch Virgo, and we'll be right back.
Struggling for such a long time, working here and
I hope. Let's see. Virgo, are you there? I think Virgo is shy. I just had her on the line, and then she disappeared again. Well, you know what? We're going to hit up my next guest because I think Virgo might be having some technical difficulties. So my conversations with a black man tonight is Paul Lamar Hunter. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to finally talk to you.
Yes, you know what? I'm excited to be on your show. So, hey, let's get it on.
Well, I'm excited to have you. I'm so excited to have you. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. You're the 19th of 21 children?
Yes, my mother is the mother of 21 natural children.
Yes, she is. Okay, that deserves a round of applause right there. Okay, so tell me, what are the ages of your brothers and sisters?
The oldest is 63. The youngest is 42 years old.
Wow, okay, wow,
so
that's great.
So there are 17 children living today, 63 grandchildren, and 86 great-grandchildren. So, hey, I have a big family. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to mess with me.
Oh, my God. Wow. You are not kidding. Oh, my God. So Paul, let me ask you, what was it that sparked you into being an author? Because I know from reading your bio, you went through a lot. It said poverty, neglect, dysfunction, death. So what was it that sparked, you know, the creativeness in you?
I think that being born into a family of 20 siblings and seeing some of the mistakes that my siblings had made, I wanted to be better. I wanted to become a better man. I did not want to live an unproductive life. I wanted to be successful. So I began to just look at my brothers and sister lives, how they made mistakes, and then I decided not to take that journey. I decided to surround myself with positive men and women. I decided to have positive thoughts every day, no matter what the situation is.
That's right.
I just decided to put myself in a healthy environment.
You have to do that. That's cool. You have to. Wow. And so what was the turning point in your life? What type of things did you see specifically that you said to yourself, okay, I can't stay in this predicament. I've got to change my life and you know, have a different life.
I think the constant struggle of living in a home where we were struggling from paycheck to paycheck and barely getting by. So I began to look at that lifestyle and said, I cannot have that same type of attribute or that type of mindset that my parents had of just getting by. Because I believe that God never created me to be getting by.
Right.
I really believe
that's
that.
That's right.
So, you know, with the struggle inside the home when it came to, okay, I cannot afford to buy my kids any clothes. I cannot afford to take my kids to the movie. I did not want that type of lifestyle.
Right. I don't blame you.
So I decided to just basically to pursue a career in business administration. So I became the first. I became the first. I broke down walls. I broke down generational curse because I became the first out of 21 children to graduate from college.
Oh, my God. Wow. I know. I see it said that you went to college. Like, what was that? I mean, how was that taken when you said, okay, I'm going to school? What was the reaction?
The reaction was from a lot of my family members. They did not receive it well. But that's okay.
Really?
Because it wasn't their journey. It was my journey. I had something to prove to myself that, hey, I can do it. See, one thing about one thing about people that have been in the inner city and grew up in poverty and been neglected and been abused mentally and physically, they have been at the bottom. So once they walk
right.
into an institution like Upper Iowa University, Upper Iowa University, which is a great university, they only have one direction they can go, and that's up. And I begin to soar.
Right, right, right. That's great. That's great. So tell me, when you started school, how old were you when you started going to college?
I was at the age of 40 years old. When I started at Upper Iowa University, I was at the age of 40 years old. Yeah.
And you knew that you had to make a change in your life. Let me ask you this, Paul. What age did your mother and father start having children? Were they pretty young when they started having kids?
My mother started having her first child at the age of 17. So when my mother met my father, she already had three girls. So she and my father had a total of 18 together. But my mom is the mother of 21 children.
Wow, wow. Wow, that is great. Man,
So you had two people that was being very productive, my mom and my dad.
Right. They weren't playing any games. Oh,
no.
My goodness. So let me ask you this, because you, I know that you said some things, like the poverty, neglect, and name some of the specific things that you saw as a young child or as a teen that you just couldn't bear to, take anymore. I know you said that there was like barely, getting by. Tell us specifically what you had to go through.
Well, one of the things that we had to struggle with in the home is that my mother did not work. My father constantly worked. He worked two jobs, working 16 hours a day. And so my father used to get paid and also give the money to my mom to pay the bills. But my mom was so in love with Jesus, I should have to say, because whatever the pastor told her to give, she would give it instead of paying the bill. And so there was a lot of conflict in the home where my mom was very abusive toward her children, derogatory statements. Her children would never become successful in life. Her children would never amount to anything. And so those derogatory statements affected some of my siblings' life. So if you disperse negative statements out to your child when they are children, it's going to impact them, because if they have a setback, they don't know how to bounce back from that setback.
Mm. Right, right.
So
I was able to
turn a lot of negative words that my mom said into positive words. Because my mom, I love my mom. My mom is not perfect.
Right.
No parent is not perfect.
Right.
You know, my mom made mistakes. She's a good woman. She brought us into the world, but you know, the cards that was dealt to her wasn't great.
Right. Right.
But you know, she wasn't a perfect mom. I have to say that. But she was good enough because she brought us into the world, but she didn't have parenting skills, and a lot of us don't have parenting skills. So in the process, even though my mom put us down, she neglected us, she abused us physically, you know, we were not allowed to call my mother mother or mom.
Really?
What
were you supposed to call her?
I can't tell you that. You have to go out and get the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child.
Mm.
It's in the book, and you will be amazed.
Mm.
You will be taken aback. Because here you have a family of 21, and we were not allowed to call her mother or mom.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And if we did, she would hit us in the face. Or she would go and get the switch or the extension cord. And or she would grab that shoe and throw the shoe at us.
Oh, my Lord.
So
now let me ask
you have to understand that my mom grew up in the Jim Crow system.
Okay.
So she came. She was born in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Her parents put her down, made derogatory remarks.
So she was just
what
copying
she thought was the norm. What she thought was the norm really was the abnorm. So, you know,
my goodness.
No matter what I've been through in my life, I learned the power of forgiveness. I learned the power of letting go. And a lot of people today.
That's powerful.
Yes. A lot of people today are holding on to a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred toward people, toward their parents, toward their siblings. And I'm here to say you have to let it go.
Because
you would never grow.
My goodness. Now, you've told your story to quite a few people since that time that you went to school. And tell us what you went to school and accomplished.
I have an associate's degree from Gateway Technical College. Also, I have a bachelor's of science from Upper Iowa University. So my story has been profiled in national magazine and national newspaper.
Quite a few.
One of the big publications that did my story, magazine publication, was Ebony Magazine. They did my story twice. So if you go to my website, paullamarhunter.com, everybody that did my story told me no. They told me
what?
No the first time.
Are
they
you
told
serious?
Me no. Yes. Everybody told me no, no, no,
Why
no,
was
no.
that?
All no means
why,
next time.
And why was, so they just were just kind of like stalling and just didn't feel like it was the time for your story?
It wasn't the time. See, what people got to understand that when you own this journey, you know, there's three things that you have to be when you own the journey of success. You have to be patient, you have to be persistent, and you have to be positive. So even though they told me no, I took it as no means next time. So the next time I presented it to them, they said, yes, let's do it.
Right.
So it's not my timing. It's God's timing.
Right. And that works out great. That works out great. You know, because
and another
now
thing,
you
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that works out great because, like you said, you're getting all the national attention, the national media attention. But what were you going to say?
Now, since my book has been out for the last 4 years and still selling today, my book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child, has been converted over to a screenplay. So one day, one day, you're going to see that my life story at the theaters.
And that's what I was thinking, that it needs to be a movie.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this. The guy that did my screenplay, he wrote the screenplay for Sammy Davis Jr. So, you know, they always receive a lot of books. But one book stood out the most. And that was my book.
Oh, wow. That is wonderful. That is wonderful.
Out of hundreds of thousands of books that this man received, one book stood out the most, and that was my book.
It made that much of an impact.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, Paul, because I always like to ask my guests, you know, what obstacles they overcame. And you told us some, you know, you couldn't bear to be, you know, live like that anymore. And then you even overcame physical abuse as well as mental abuse of someone telling you that you can't do it. What are some things that you did to motivate yourself, to inspire yourself? Did you have to do that daily, or was it something that you just made an instant decision and just stuck by it and just went for success? What did you do to motivate yourself?
What I did was I began to tell myself that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I began to change my mindset. All the negative behaviors that I have seen growing up as a child, I began to dwell them out of my mind, and I began to deposit positive thoughts into my mind, into my spirit, because I needed to get away so I can grow and challenge myself. I challenge myself if I can change my thoughts, and I did it.
Right.
And then I began reach out to positive men and women that can help me, develop me, and be a mentor to me.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, let me ask you this. What advice would you give someone else that is going through the struggle?
I think the best advice that I can give a person is that they must have a mind to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to have a mind to be successful, you have to have a can-do attitude. That's important. You have to have an attitude to say, you know what? I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it. If I begin to surround myself with positive men and women, I can do it. Another thing that they have to do, they have to win. They have to continue to win in life. No matter what comes your way, what obstacles, what negativity might come your way, you have to say that I am going to win in life. And you also, you have to continue on this journey of success. You have to continue to be a leader. And when you continue to be a leader, you're going to be honest. You're going to be faithful. You're going to always have a positive mindset, and you're going to be open-minded. You can't be narrow-minded.
Right.
You can't be closed-minded. You know, you're going to be open-minded. So that's the best advice that I can give a person. And also, they need to go out and get the book. No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. Because that book is an inspirational book, and it's a parenting book.
I feel inspired just by listening to you. I'm sitting back, you know, I'm taking notes. Let me ask you this. Now that you've gotten into this point in your life, you know, you're the 19th of 21 children, how are your siblings reacting? What are their reactions?
Right now, my siblings are happy for me because they know that I had put in the hard work to get where I am today, and now it's paying off. And so, you know, 2017 is around the corner, and I'm optimistic about 2017, and they are optimistic as well. But, you know, first when the book came out, they did not embrace the book. You know, when you're dealing with family dysfunction and you're telling other people how the Hunter family was raised, some of them was for it, and they didn't want to hear it. But now since they had a chance to read the book, it brought healing into their lives.
Well, that's wonderful. Wow. Paul, I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight.
You are welcome.
I've been trying to get you. Yeah, I've been trying to interview you for a minute. You know, I've been trying to get up with you, and it's my fault. But tell us some of the, you know, other than my little show, tell us some of the other shows that you have been on recently and since you've released your book.
The Tom Joyner Morning Show, the Tavis Malley Morning Show, the Megan Latin Show, Armstrong Williams Show. So those are some of the shows that I have been on, the radio shows that I have been on. But for 2017, I'm optimistic that People Magazine will do my story. I have been talking with the editor there. Also, I have been talking with the producer over at the Steve Harvey television show. So I'm just optimistic that, you know, 2017, you will see this beautiful face on a talk show.
You said this beautiful face?
Yes.
Okay. But look, I am so blessed.
blessed and honored that you're on my show. So now I can say, look, I had the 19th child on my show. So that's a blessing for me to be able to say that I, you know, interviewed you and I heard your story. It's so inspiring. And, yes, I do need to read the book because, you know, just from the details that I'm seeing, it's something that must be read, something that will motivate and inspire other people. So I really, you know, wish you the best, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, and I must say this, that once I get this movie deal, I'm going to come back to your show and let your show be the first show to tell the world.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, a matter of fact, I was just going to say we want to have you on again sometime, and I can't wait to see what the future, the very near future holds for you. That's going to be exciting. That's going to be great.
Right.
So
hey,
I wish
you
the best, and I'll talk to you soon, Paul. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, great. Now, I think I found my last guest. I hope she's there. We're going to go ahead and just come right back with a quick song, and then we're going to talk to my last guest.
Even though, girl, I know that I would fall for you. You got to know that everyone falls.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Maxine Jones for giving me this platform to you know, spread all this talent that we have. Paul Lamar Hunter, he's an author. He's the 19th of 21 children. July Rain, she's a poet. Check her out. Check me out. I have a website called thinkblessed.com. You can see a little bit of everything of what I do. Also, check out my book, Success Looks Good on Me. It's a little bit of spoken word, some motivation. And check out my other shows. I have Don't Be Salty, All About Relationships. We have a different comedian each week. My next Don't Be Salty show is going to be actor-comedian Dannon Green. Yes, you just saw him on Real Housewives of Hollywood, and he's going to be my guest next week. So check that out. And also check out Conversations of a Black Man, Racine Ties Live. Check out everything I do. But most importantly, do as I say. You don't get chances, you take them. So take a chance, create an opportunity for yourself, create a vision, and then just go for it. Thank you so much for checking me out on Racine Ties Live. We'll see you next time.